You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the last Sunday after Pentecost, Christ the King Sunday, November 22nd, 2015, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the authorities. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the aftermath of Paris and Mali, many of us are left wondering if there's any place in the world that we are safe from flying bullets and the crossfire by opposing religious and political factions, all claiming to have their own version of the truth. In today's gospel story, Jesus also finds himself in the midst of an intense and deadly crossfire. On one side are the religious leaders who have deceptively presented Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor, the man of the world. These religious leaders despise their Roman overlords who have robbed them of their dignity and their autonomy and inflict them with burdensome taxes. They hope for a Messiah that can muster a rebellion against Rome. Jesus is clearly not this kind of king, and they know it, and they want him gone. On the other side of the crossfire is Pilate, who is financed and supplied by one of the most powerful, terrifyingly so, empires of the ancient world. Again, Pilate is a man of the world. His background check on Jesus has already determined that Jesus has no army, is not part of any terrorist cell, and therefore is no immediate threat. And yet Pilate has to be careful. Although he is the most powerful man in the city, at least for the moment, he can't afford to jeopardize this fragile peace. He's willing to do the dirty work if it means that nothing gets back to Rome, nothing that would get back to cause the emperor to lose faith in his ability to control the province. In the end, he wants the Jews and Jesus to know that the emperor is not only boss, but king. Then the unexpected happens. In the polished marble halls of Pilate's headquarters, Jesus turns Pilate's notions of power upside down when he says, "My kingdom is not from this world." Instead of firing back into the crossfire by using kingly threats or terrorist tactics, he embodies a different kind of power and announces a stunning way to rule human hearts. Jesus confidently proclaims to Pilate that he is here to bear witness to the truth about God's love, to which the cynical Pilate, who has probably known only violence his entire life, asks Jesus the million-dollar question, "What is truth?" In this very fragmented, polarized world in which you and I live, where competing religions, ideologies, political and economic systems all have their own version of the truth, it appears that Pilate's question is strangely our question too. What are we to make of Jesus' claim to be the way and the truth and the life? Although religious groups differ greatly in their understanding of beliefs and practices, it is also true that most, if not all, of the major religions in the world have their own version of the Golden Rule, which I hold on to as one of God's universal truths to which Jesus and other great wisdom teachers bear witness. For example, for Christians, it is stated as, "Do unto others as you would have done unto you." In the Jewish tradition, it is said, "What is hateful to yourself, do not do to others." That is the whole Torah. The rest is just commentary. In Buddhism can be found the teaching, "Hurt not others in ways that you would hurt yourself." Excuse me, I'll try that one again. "Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful." In Islam, it says, "Seek for humanity that of which you are desirous for yourself, that you may be a believer." And lastly, the Law of One, whose author is anonymous, "For we are all one. When one is harmed, all are harmed. When one is helped, all are healed." There are windows in our history when humanity receives a divinely inspired vision for a new world, unified by a concern and a commitment to not repeat our violent past. One such time was December 10th in 1948, when the United Nations General Assembly ratified the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It was in the aftermath of all the atrocities and violence committed by Nazi Germany. It represented the first global expression of rights to which all human beings are inherently entitled. It is based on the four freedoms: freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from fear, and freedom from want. The Declaration is the world's most translated document, second only to the Bible. Eleanor Roosevelt supported its adoption as a declaration rather than as a treaty because she believed that it would have the same kind of positive effect on global society as the United States Declaration of Independence had had on the United States society. In this, she proved to be correct. Even though it's not legally binding, the Declaration has been adopted in many countries around the world and influenced most national constitutions since 1948. Unfortunately, it has not been implemented well. You and I also live in a time in our history when we have a window to take action. It is time for Christians to become better Christians, for Jews to become better Jews, for Muslims to become better Muslims, for agnostics to become better agnostics, and for all humans to seek to become better humans. How can we do that? Well, we start with God's grace. We can start by encouraging each faith group to challenge itself to go more deeply into its own teachings to find not only the golden rule, but search for a God who created all of us in God's holy image. If each faith group can see the other as a human being created in God's image, it will be much harder to do violence. As members of the Christian community, we need to listen carefully to Jesus and look for the universal truth of love which he embodied, the cosmic dimensions of his kingdom. In many of the stories of Jesus' life, we see that he was revealing to his followers the importance of expanding the golden rule to include not only fellow believers, members of his own tribe, but people of all faiths, including those who do not believe in any kind of God. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, in which an innocent man is robbed, beaten, and nearly dies because others can't see him as human, Jesus shows us that he intended the golden rule to apply to other human beings outside our own specific ethnicity, our religion, political group, or nationality. If you remember the story, the so-called religious expert on the law asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life, and he asked him about the truth. The law got The lawyer got the answer right. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. But do you remember how it happened? That was too much for the lawyer, who then put the question back to Jesus, what is our neighbor? And that's the story of the Samaritans that follows. Jesus brought forth in that story a principle of the kingdom of his love. Although Jesus' spirit-propelled kingdom was not from this world, it is certainly found in this world. When we define our neighbor as including all of God's creation, including the ones that we don't feel safe with and are caught in the crossfire of our violent world. It is then and only then that God's love truly reigns in our hearts. And on this day of the liturgical year, when we call Christ our King, we see God's beloved Son ascend the throne of the cross, inaugurating a strong and compassionate reign of love, free of coercion and violence, uniting all the kingdoms of the world. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.